A few days ago, I turned on the news, and there were some very troubling things on there about things going on in the world. And it's even more troubling when they speculate about what might happen tomorrow. Sometimes we get troubling news, and we just have our day-to-day, our cares, our families, our things that we're, our loved ones, and we just can get troubled. Our Lord reminded us that your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. He knows what you need. And he said, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You seek the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness first. That means preeminently all the time. And the other things you need, he said, he'll add them to you. And he said, don't even take thought for tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. No point speculating and worrying about things that 9 times out of 10 don't even happen. This is where every child of God finds really a lot of comfort. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Sometimes we look at, we zoom in and we see our Lord's dealing individually with his people. We've seen it with David, we've seen it with the apostles and with Peter, and how he came to them specifically and dealt with them very tenderly one-on-one. But sometimes it helps to stand back and see just how big our God is by seeing how he's working all things together and has been doing it since he created time. And he says, we know this. We know this. As believers, we know this. All things, that means everything, all things work together for good to them that love God. God's working all things together. He was doing this before we were, in our experience of it, them that love God. That's how come he brought us to love God, is he's working all things together for our good. That's how we came to be the called in time in our experience of it, because he was working all things together for our good. And how did he do this? According to his purpose. According to his purpose. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Whatever his purpose was from eternity, that's exactly what he's been working in this earth. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Our God is sovereign. The true and living God that made all things is sovereign, and he's working all things together for the good of his people. And he's doing it according to his purpose. This is his eternal purpose. This is God's purpose. He does everything on purpose. What is God's eternal purpose that God brings to pass? All things that are coming to pass are being all worked together to accomplish his purpose. Nothing is left out. He's working all things together to accomplish his purpose. Now, I want you to see God's eternal purpose. And I want us to see why he was working, why he's been working everything together, all things together for our good. It's according to this purpose. Everything we're going to look at here is in the past tense. Everything we're going to look at here took place in eternity before God made anything. This is his purpose. This is God's purpose. This is what he's been working from the moment he said, let there be light. This is what he's been working. from the moment he created the first grain of sand. Now here it is, first of all, verse 29, because whom he did foreknow. Now let's stop right there. It doesn't say for what he did foreknow. It says for whom he did foreknow. God's foreknowing is not merely God knowing beforehand. It's God foreordaining. It's God, the word is prognosis. It's God's prognosis from eternity. It's him electing. It's him making the ordination of what he would do. The same word is translated foreordained when speaking of the Lord Jesus. It says in 1 Peter 1:20, Christ verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. God put it all in his hand to accomplish this work, and then he was manifested in these last times for you. That's the same word as whom he foreknew. The word in our text is not God foreknowing something about us. It's not God seeing who would believe him and that's why he chose them. If that was the case, there would be the rest of this would even need to be there. But he's going to talk about how he predestinated his people, how he justified and called and glorified. None of that would have to be there if he just knew you was going to believe him. But he has to predestinate you to the new birth and give you faith and give you life and draw you to Christ. This is not what he knew. This is who he knew. Who he knew. Go over with me to Romans 9. Here it is right here. This is his purpose. His foreordaining purpose of an elect people that he everlastingly loved, a sovereign choice of his people. Verse 11, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Here's the purpose. This is the purpose. This is his foreknowing, his foreordaining, his electing purpose. Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Go to Romans 11. Here's God's foreknowing right here. God's foreknowing a people is him reserving a people who he would save, reserving a people for himself. Romans 11, 2. Paul said, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Same word. Would ye not what the scripture says of Elias, how he made intercession of God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I'm left all alone, and they seek my life. But what was the answer of God to him? I have reserved to myself. There's foreordination right there. That's foreknowledge. God reserving a people for himself. 7,000 men who've not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Those that God foreknew, same as saying he foreordained them to eternal life. By his sovereign electing grace, they are his people. They are God's Israel. Paul was a natural Israelite, but he was far more than that. He was somebody God foreknew, somebody God foreordained to save. And God has not cast away his people. He will not, and he shall never cast away his people whom he foreknew. Whom he foreknew. This is his grace. Now, that's the purpose God's been working from the beginning. This is why he's working all things together. It's according to this purpose to save a people he foreordained to save. That's what God is doing right now in everything that's going on in this world. With wars and nations and troubles and all the mundane thing, everything is coming to pass. It's coming to pass because God is saving a people he loved from everlasting. That's the purpose. That's God's purpose. All right, secondly, back in our text, God's working all things together to accomplish his eternal purpose because, verse 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Everything that comes to pass in this world is brought to pass by God according to his eternal purpose. Everything. Everything. When you stump your toe, coming to pass because God's eternal purpose. A sparrow does not fall to the ground without the Father. The hairs of your head are numbered. That's how big God is. That's how certain he's working all things together for good for his people. Isaiah 14:24 said, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. You think about that. As I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. The Lord of hosts hath purposed. Who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out. Who shall turn it back? The purpose of God's predestination is to make his people like his son. To make his people like his son. We lost the image of God in the fall. We fell and we became corrupt. And that was all according to God's purpose, to send forth his son, to make us like his son. That Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. The whole thing about God's purpose is not even about you being saved. It's about God's son getting all the glory. He's going to get all the glory. He's the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's what it's all about, is his son. God predestinated his people to be born again. He predestinated his people to bring them under the gospel, to send forth the Spirit, to cause them to experience a new birth, so that when he does that, he creates us anew in the image of his son. He sends forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, and that new man is created in his image. And then at the end, when he's made you to put off this body of death, and that new spirit goes to be with him, he's going to create a new body. And then we're going to be perfectly conformed to his image. You and I didn't have a thing to do with being conformed to his image. This was God's eternal purpose, and it's to the praise and glory of his Son. Listen up. Well, let's go to Ephesians 1:5. This is exactly what Paul's talking about there. Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. God predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, to conform us to the image of his son. Now, there's three things involved in this. Three things. This is going to show you how surely God is working all things together for his people right here, from eternity, according to his purpose. This was an eternal act of God the Father right here. He made a multitude of children in Christ before the foundation of the world. He did this, choosing us in his purpose. He created us in Christ before the world was made, when he foreordained us and predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. And so he works all things together in time for our good, so that we will be born anew. Or well, so that we'd be born the first time. He worked everything so you'd be born the first time. But he also predestinated us to experience this adoption, so that he's going to cause that new birth. And so he worked all things together to bring you under the gospel, to cause you to experience that new birth. Nothing was left to chance. Nothing. God said how he would do it was through the preaching of the gospel. I'll send men that'll preach the truth to you. And he's going to save his people through the truth of the gospel. He has the power to bring you under the truth of the gospel. He predestinates us to the adoption of children, and he creates this new birth. And then lastly, this adoption and its conformity has to do with when we're delivered into that glorious liberty of the sons of God. That's in Romans 8 as well. We're going to be We're waiting the redemption of our body, the adoption, the redemption of our body. That's when we'll be perfectly conformed to his Son through and through. And all of this was that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, so that Christ gets all the glory. This is how you can know, brethren. This was all purpose before we knew anything about it. God created this world. He worked everything in this world to bring you to experience this adoption. And this is how you can be certain that whatever's coming to pass in this world, if tomorrow the lights go out, you can make certain, you know this, God's going to work for your good, and he's not going to let you be separated from Christ. Don't mean you might not suffer. Don't mean you might not be hungry. Don't mean that things might not go like you want it to go. But you're not going to be harmed. And you're not going to be separated from Christ. This thing is a spiritual union that will never be severed. He shall not fail till he has finished this work, our Lord Jesus. That's why Paul rejoiced in Ephesians 1:11. He said, in Christ also we have obtained an inheritance. He's speaking past tense. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. No possibility we won't come into that inheritance. Now that's a God you can trust. That's a God you can rest in when it looks like, when everybody's running around thinking the sky's falling. You know he's working all things together and has been from the beginning, and it's for the good of his people. Now, thirdly, back in our text, God works all things together for the good of his people according to his purpose, because in eternity, now please get this, he already called us. In eternity, he already called us. We're not yet talking about what he did for you in time. We're talking about what he did according to his purpose. To his purpose. It says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. The word means named. It means made to bear a name. And in eternity, before he made anything at all, God called his people and made us bear his name, bearing the name of his Son from eternity. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's the holy calling. He called us before this world was ever made. Jude said, he wrote to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And when God foreknew his people, when he predestinated his people, he called his people. There was eternal call of God prior to our effectual call in time. Now, everybody he called, his own children in eternity, he will call them in time. But now see how secure we are, and why Paul is saying here, if God's for you and he's been working all things together for your good, this is how you know things are going to be fine right here. All right, God created the world. Think about this now. God created the world. Everything in it, heaven, earth, everything. Permitted the fall. According to his purpose, to work all of this that he purposed. God, through a long chain of providence, he made your great, 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 great grandparents be born. Those great grandparents you don't even know. He made them be born. If there was nobody else in your family that he called, you that are elect, he foreknew, they're sitting here, he made them to be born so you would be born. That's working all things together for your good. Is it that real? It's that real. It came all the way down the line to you, and he ordered everything to bring you into this world, bring you under the word of this gospel, and he made you experience that effectual call where he called you by the power of his grace and created life in you that was not there and gave you faith that you could not produce and drew you to him and made you see Christ as all. So I'm trying to show you how sure we are in our Lord Jesus. God is working all things, has been working all things together since the beginning for his children, whom he foreknew, whom he predestinated, whom he called from eternity. The council of peace was formed, the covenant of grace was made, the promise of life was given us. God called us his children in Christ back there in eternity. Our Savior was appointed, and every blessing of grace was put into his hands to give to his people. Our Lord chose his Son, and he gave all the blessings he blessed his people with, he gave them to his Son to bless us with them through his blood and his righteousness. And that's why when the fullness of time was come, the reason God sent the Spirit of God into your heart was not to make you his child. It was because you already were. And when did you become his child? When he called you from eternity. Galatians 4:6 says, and because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. We didn't do anything to become a child of God. He made us his children, just like your children didn't do anything to become your children. This is when this gives more meaning to what John said when he said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now, fourthly, be assured, God's working all things for our good according to his purpose, because this is also his eternal purpose. Verse 30, and whom he called, them he also justified. Clay's going to talk about eternal justification. Yes, he is. When it says that our God, our Father, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that includes justification. That includes justification. Christ, when he became our surety, we were justified. We were righteous without sin in his Son. And that's the only reason God hadn't ever destroyed this world, is because he had a people who were holy and righteous in his Son by God's sovereign grace, justified in Christ from eternity. That's what Scripture means when God said, I declare the end from the beginning. From ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. I call a man that executes my counsel from a far country. I spoke it, I'll bring it to pass. I purposed it, I'll do it. And in eternity, when he chose his Son to be that man to come from that far country and execute his counsel, Christ Jesus, as the surety for his people, became the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Everybody I've ever heard speak against that had one reason they did it. They were trying to say that their faith justified them. Everyone had ever said it. My faith justified me. Your faith didn't justify you. If you're justified, God justified you. You're going to read that in the next verses in our text. If you're justified, God justified you, and he gets the glory. He gave you faith to receive what he did for you. And that's faith. Faith receives it, but it's God that did the justifying. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. So from the time that he commanded the light, and Christ came into this world, every war that's taken place, every great thing that's happened in the world, every small thing that's happened in the world, it all was being worked together until when the fullness of the time had come. And then Christ came into this world to do this, to made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of children. And God even overruled wicked men to nail the Son of God to the cross, to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. When he determined it before? In eternity. In eternity, from the beginning, according to his purpose. And so Christ Jesus accomplished our warfare, brethren. He accomplished our warfare. Our Lord Jesus came into this world and laid down his life and accomplished our warfare. By him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, lastly, and try to get a hold of this. God's been working all things together for our good because God glorified us from eternity when he chose us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 30, in whom he justified, them he also glorified. This is all talking about what God did. This is all talking about what God did in the past tense. And this is his purpose. This is his purpose. Did God really glorify us, past tense, before the world was made, when he chose us in Christ, and Christ entered covenant with the Father to save us? This is what our Lord was talking about when he prayed to the Father in John 17:5, and he said, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. When he chose his son to be the preeminence and to be the firstborn among many brethren, and he chose a people and gave them to his son, predestinated them to the adoption, when he called them, when he justified them, he glorified his son. He gave him all this glory in eternity to be the one to do all this work. And by giving his people to him, he glorified us in his son. I know we can't hardly get this because all we think about is time. But God's eternal. God's eternal. One day there is not going to be time anymore. And when you die and you open your eyes in glory, everybody's going to be there. Everybody's going to be there. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requires that which is past. God's eternal. God's eternal. What I'm trying to say to you is, since all these spiritual blessings are in the past tense, done by the Father in Christ before time was created, since this was his eternal purpose, and you can rest easy knowing this, God has been, from the first tick of the clock, and he shall continue to work all things together for good to you that love God, to you are the called according to his purpose. He will do it according to this eternal purpose. It's why Christ justified us in time by his blood. It's why the Spirit called us in time. It's why we experienced the adoption in time. It's why we shall be kept and glorified at the end of time together with Christ in his perfect likeness. We have no reason to doubt and we have no reason to worry. This is his promise. To everybody justified by Christ, he says there shall no evil happen to the just. Not any. Sure, not any. I mean, that includes no matter what. The Spirit of God guarantees us, verse 28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Read verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So next time you get troubled, camp right there. Camp right there. Get those words down in your heart and camp right there. All right, Brother Adam.